We bring to these microphones now Dr. Rennie Showers. He's a longtime friend of us here on Prophecy Today and me personally. I love this dear brother. A dear brother, he's a prolific writer. He has traveled all over the country in conference work, not traveling as much today because he's associated with Friends of Israel, and they've asked him to spend as much time possible writing on subjects that we talk about here on Prophecy Today, eschatology, study of the end times. Recently, we went into Chattanooga, Tennessee together, and there we produced some television programs, I think 9 of them, for the John Ankerberg television program. And in fact, this weekend, you can see the very famous Dr. Rennie Showers and his sidekick, Jimmy DeYoung, as we discuss the rapture of the church, a very important subject. And indeed, you might want to look up on your local listings how you can get access to the John Ankerberg television program. Rennie, what I wanted to talk to you about is a news article that I received the other day that seemed to say to me, in the evangelical world, and the definition of evangelical is quite interesting today as well. There's just a Duke's mixture of people that would be included in the evangelical world. But among what people call themselves evangelicals are saying is they're moving away from their pro-Israel stand, and they're starting to split and start showing support for some of the enemies, really, of the Jewish state. Now, have you seen this trend happening? I mean, is it indeed a part of what evangelicalism is doing, moving away from the teachings of the Word of God and God's plan for the Jewish people in the future? Is that happening as you look at it in this world?
Yes, it certainly is, Jimmy. And, even sometimes where I've spoken, some people come up and confront me who would disagree, you know, that God still regards the people of Israel as a chosen people, not because, and God even says this, that they're better than our people, but because he has a special plan and purpose for them in working out his whole plan and purpose for world history. The Bible makes it very clear that Israel is the one that has to repent and believe in Jesus as its Messiah before God will crush Satan and end Satan's rule from the world system, and God restore his theocratic kingdom rule back to planet Earth again that was lost when Satan got the first Adam to rebel against God. What's very significant is this. They have had to develop a whole new method of interpreting some of the biblical passages and kind of spiritualizing them. If you go back, like, to Genesis, when God began dealing with Abram, later on Abraham, said, I'm going to make a great nation of you, and through which all families of the earth will be blessed. Now, not great in size, but great in significance because of how God was going to work through that nation to bring about his plans and purpose for world history. And so he told Abram, leave Ur of the Chaldees, go to a land that I'm going to lead you to, in which Abram did that. And God said to him, look at this land. The day is going to come when I'm going to give rule and ownership of this land from the river of Egypt, but also up to the Euphrates River. And he said, I'm going to give this land to you and to your descendants forever as an everlasting possession. At first, you know, Abraham and Sarah, they weren't producing any children whatsoever. And so Abraham's beginning to wonder, you know, how can God fulfill these promises he's made? So after a while, they had a lapse of faith, and Sarah, his wife, gave to Abram her handmaiden and said, you know, you produce a son through her. And so Abraham did that, and that lady gave birth to a son by the name of Ishmael. When Ishmael was about 14 years of age, God was talking with Abraham, and Abraham said to God, please bless my son Ishmael. God indicated he would bless Ishmael and his descendants, but he said, your wife Sarah, a year from now, is going to give birth to another son, and you will call his name Isaac. And he said, the irrevocable covenant that I made with you, Abraham, about your descendants and the land, that they'll own that forever. That covenant will go through Isaac and his descendants. The covenant involving the land ownership that I made with you and with your other son, Isaac, and his descendants forever, that's not a covenant with Ishmael and his descendants. Now, what's interesting is historians claim that the Arab people of the world are biological descendants of Ishmael and not of Isaac. As a result of that, you know, they often claim, well, since God said it will be through Abraham's son, that son will have the ownership of the land. Historians believe that the Arab people of the world are the biological descendants of Ishmael, whereas the Jewish people of the world are biological descendants of Isaac, the other son of Abraham. God said, I've heard your plea to bless Ishmael. I have blessed him, and I'm going to bless his descendants. The Arab people claim that Ishmael was their ancestor. In fact, from some historians claim that the Arab people, particularly those who are Muslims, when they go to Saudi Arabia at the major worship center there, they believe that the remains of Ishmael and his mother are in that building. And so this is really a foundational, you know, for the struggle. Who's the rightful owner of the land from God's viewpoint? Now, what happened is, within 100 years after the apostles of Jesus Christ were off the world scene, there were some Gentile church leaders who began to kind of reinterpret these biblical passages. One of the reasons they did that was because there were many Jewish religious leaders, ones who rejected Jesus as their Messiah, and they were carrying on almost verbal feuds with early Gentile church leaders. And some of the early Gentile church leaders, as a result of that, got so fed up with that they were beginning to think God is done with the Jewish people. He has no major purpose for them, either in the homeland that I'd give on it to them or not. It's the Christians now who are the rightful owners of the land. And that we are the new Israel. They actually began using that term. And so the term for that shift is replacement theology. That because the people of Israel rejected Jesus in his first coming as their Messiah, that most of them did as a nation, that God has removed them as his special, unique people and replaced them with the church. In Romans chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, the Apostle Paul is talking about Jews who are unbelievers. They've rejected Christ as Savior. And then he says about them concerning the gospel. These Jews who have rejected Jesus, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And what they're saying there is, in spite of the fact that Jews even today reject Jesus as the Messiah, don't believe that he is the Son of God and the Messiah, in spite of that, all the covenant promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down the line, those are irrevocable because God said that I'm going to give this land to your descendants forever as an everlasting possession. And he went on to say, and that's the Abrahamic covenant, one of the major promises of it, and he's saying that's the covenant that's going to be with Isaac and his biological descendants, not with Ishmael and his biological descendants.
So indeed, what we're seeing on the evangelical scene is a group that actually had its beginnings way back in the first century Christianity, and it's referred to as replacement theology. This is where these people are going who are splitting from their pro-Israel stand, a biblical stand, to support for the enemies of the Jewish people. Replacement theology is very dangerous, is it not?
Well, the long-range implications of it are. Now, I mean, these are born-again people. You know, they've trusted Jesus as their Savior. and they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. You know, these are evangelical people, and they believe the Bible is the Word of God, but they draw the conclusion that since the people of Israel have rejected God's Son, the Messiah, God has rejected them, and he's as his chosen people and rightful owners of the land there in the Middle East, and he's replaced them now with the church. And so the church is now the new Israel of God from this time on.
Is that dangerous thinking and theology for any church?
It really is, and when you trace the history of all this, I tell you, history demonstrates that they're really off on a wrong tangent along these lines on this particular issue. You know, so that it boils down to who are the rightful owners there in the land. And you know that the nation of Israel, there are Arab people there, they're brothers in Christ of us. They have a Bible school in the town or city of Bethlehem there. But because of their background, they are saying that God's done with Israel as a nation, and therefore that some of them are claiming Israel has no right to be there at all. And as a result, they're drawing now non-Arab evangelical people into their line of thinking along these lines. And so they've been having now at least 2 years, I know of a special conference there at their Bible school in Bethlehem. And a lot of the evangelical Christian leaders from America are going this direction, have been over there, you know, for those conferences and are in agreement and everything along those lines.
Wow. Well, we're living in a world in God's word that was described would be the case at the end of time, the time approaching the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. Well, you can understand, dear friend, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, when I have a question I need to ask a theological expert, I go to Dr. Rennie Showers. That's what we've done today to talk about this very important issue coming into focus in the body of Christ today. You need to be paying attention to what is happening. Rennie, I'm so grateful that you put us into the proper understanding biblically for what did happen in the past, is happening in the present, and of course, we have to understand that Bible prophecy will be dealing with the Jewish people in the future as well. Thank you, my good friend. We appreciate it so very much.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's a privilege to be with you and your listeners.